Live from Owings Mills, another Purple Report by WNST correspondent Luke Jones.
Eric DaCosta and Jesse Minter met with the media to recap the 2026 NFL Draft.
All right, guys, thanks for coming and spending your weekend with us, or half your weekend. It was a long 3 days, a lot of work involved. Happy with the results. I'll just kind of run down these guys that we've taken, the most recent picks. Elijah Surratt from Indiana. St. Francis grad, as you guys know. Great career at Indiana. Big body, strong hands, contested catch. Probably a guy that can play outside or inside. We think he's really, really good inside. Really a good back shoulder fade type of receiver, physical. You know, just we just think he's a really good fit for what we want to do on offensively, and was, you know, I think speaks to us trying to draft best available player whenever we can. And he just was really at that point in the draft. We had some other options, but in our mind, he was clearly the best player still available. Hibner, we've seen him here in Baltimore. He was a local guy for us, local pro day guy from Virginia. Jesse knew him from his Michigan days. Really think he's really evolved, tested really, really well at the combine. His numbers are off the charts. Really, really explosive, a great jumper, really good ball skills. Had an awesome year as a receiving tight end. We think he's going to emerge as a blocker as well. A great kid. We love spending time with him here in Baltimore. Chandler Rivers was a guy that I know the scouts are really excited to get. Undersized, very, very quick, probably fits best inside. He plays outside, but probably fits best inside. Very sticky in coverage. Again, a guy that tested extremely well. His numbers at the combine is 40, I think was in the 4.3s. He jumped really well. And we've had, you know, success over the years with these type of guys, even going back to, you know, some of my favorite Ravens. Ladarius Webb is a guy that comes to mind. Tavon Young, those kind of really good football players that might be a little undersized. So we're excited about him. And then Josh Cuevas, you know, you never can go wrong with an Alabama tight end. He's a guy that does a lot of different things well. He runs good routes. He's got good hands. He's a competitive blocker. He can align in different spots. And I think one of our goals this year was really coming out of this draft with two tight ends that we liked a lot. And, you know, I think we did a good job. I really credit our coaches, Zach and Declan, for really doing a great job getting that tight end board lined up in a really nice way for us to strategize and make sure that we got a couple guys that we really liked. And they weren't necessarily, you know, players that we had to jump into the, you know, first or second or third round to get. But we had options in every single round, and we were very fortunate to get Josh at that point. Adam Randall's an interesting pick. I think it is. You know, you'll probably see the video at some point. It's the first draft pick that Steve Bisciotti has ever made. So, you know, when we were down in Florida, Steve was begging for a draft pick, and he owns the team. I said, yes, Steve. And so, of course, you're going to have a draft pick. And so we decided on our last fifth-round pick. He did his research. He studied the tape, talked to people. He's got a really good relationship with the Clemson head coach. And Adam's a guy as a former wideout. He's got a varied skill set. He does a lot of different things well. We think the best is yet to come with him as a running back. He's got really good hands. He can run routes. He's a possible kick returner, special teams guy. He's got a great body and good measurables. And we're excited to see what he can do. He's kind of a jackknife. And he's a phenomenal kid. We think one of the best makeups in this draft. And then Ryan Eckley, you know, Randy has been scouring the country looking at punters. And this was his top guy. And I think for us it was just a matter of when we had to take him. Looking at the board, kind of getting a sense for the teams that might draft the punter. We knew Buffalo was in the mix and potentially Pittsburgh. So we had to figure out that sweet spot to get that done. And the nice thing I think about, you know, Ryan is not only is he an excellent punter, but he's probably the best holder in the draft, which is really important, as you guys all know. So excited to get him. Rashawn Benny, you know, we've coached him, right? Lou Esposito and Jesse. We like his frame, his skill set. He's a guy that can play 5-tech, 3-tech, physical guy, long arms, really has a good 5-tech body, which is tough to find. He's a strong run defender. and he fits us. He fits our mentality, and he knows our defense, and he's a plug-and-play guy coming in and out of the gates. Now, last pick is Evan Bernstein. Again, a guy that plays guard. He has played some center, not a lot. He's been playing college football for a long time. And he was at, I think, South Dakota and then Northwestern. He's a guard, primarily physical, tough, gritty type of Midwest, Big Ten type of offensive lineman. And at that point in the draft, he was by far the highest rated player for us, and we think he's got a good chance to help us at some point. Questions?
Eric, when Steve's making that, why did you select that fifth round as the one that, you know, was there any backstory to why that was the point in the draft that he was going to take one?
I think he probably coerced me with a nice bottle of wine down there in Florida, and we had all those picks. We knew we were going to have all those picks, and so we just decided on that last pick in the fifth round.
Obviously, maybe your best offseason departure is Kylie Linderbaum. No obvious center in this draft, although I guess, you know, Evan might convert. What was your overall take on this center class and who failed on this draft, and ultimately, you know, you even traded back into the fourth round when there were some available. Why do you think it wasn't in your best interest to take one?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good question. So there were a couple centers that we really liked, the guys that went in the second round. And I think after that, you know, could we have traded up, you know, potentially maybe traded up into the second round and maybe take one of those guys? And we really assessed it, like where we were picking at 80 for us to do that would have cost our second round pick, our third round pick, and our fourth round pick, points wise to do that. You know, third round, fourth round, fifth round, whatever you're going to say, points wise to do it, probably prohibitive for us to get up that high in the draft. And so, you know, would I rather have Jacoby, Surratt, and Hibner, I probably would than one player at that point. So it was impossible for us to really get back up into the second round unless we gave up a first-round pick next year, maybe, potentially. You know, there were some other centers, but there was nobody that we looked at that we thought necessarily, like, this guy's going to come in here and, you know, I'm not – they're good players, but there's nobody that's going to necessarily be an impact player for us this year. I do think we'll have a plan at the position. Feel confident in saying that. I think we have a couple guys here that will compete for that position. But as the Hall of Fame general manager once said, you don't play games till September. And I think we'll have a great offensive line at that point. We have a plan. It didn't necessarily fall our way this weekend, but it's still early, and I'm thrilled with what we'll be able to accomplish.
Were you surprised that the two guys went as early as they did, those first two centers?
I was a little surprised. I would probably attribute that to the run on offensive linemen in the first and second round and that trickle-down effect because, you know, when you saw all those tackles and guards go, you know, that's what happens. I think you see it. You saw it in a different way this year with receiver and tight ends. And so, again, you saw these receivers get picked, and then you saw a huge run on tight ends. These teams have to adjust quickly on the fly. So I think actually one of the centers that was drafted got turned in as a guard just because all those guards got picked. And so now as a team you're trying to look at it and go, oh, man, how are we going to fill this guard position? Well, let's take this center. He can probably play guard. So it's hard. It's challenging. A lot of times when you find yourself in a position like that, and we've been in this many years, it's just the pick that you have, the number that you have, and not just being able to maneuver the right way or not having the ammunition or maybe the cost of doing so is probably prohibitive. So unfortunate, but I'm ecstatic with the players that we're able to get. And honestly, like looking at this list of players, I probably wouldn't do anything differently.
For you or for Jesse, what is your guys' plan now with Emory? Is he someone who you're still looking at guard or a tackler, or is he someone who could even potentially have a shot at center?
Yeah, well, I mean, coming out, he was a right tackle, and he's a damn good right tackle. We think he's going to be a damn good guard, too, coming off the injury. We think he's a talented guy, great mentality, great makeup. you know, he's going to compete. He'll compete to start. And we're going to have great depth. And we're going to have a great sixth man. I don't know who that sixth man is going to be. But whoever it is, if you come out of it with this group, you're going to be really talented. You're going to be really good. So I like the depth that we have right now. We still have some moves to make. I think we're in a much better place than we have been. And I'm excited to see what happens.
Jesse, I know you were kind of noncommittal in terms of Vanga, where he would play. But, I mean, does he have that? I know he's played a little bit of center. Is that something you guys would even look at?
Yeah, I think we'll start off thinking more of a guard, but I think there's always – I really think Coach Ledford does a great job, highly confident that we'll be able to put a great O-line together. I do think there will be there's the thought of how do you get your best five guys on the field, you know, no different than a guy like secondary or, you know, linebackers. It's like how do you get the best players that can help you win onto the field? And so I think that's the great part about the offseason – getting a chance to work with these guys, it's a good time sometimes to experiment with people like that and see what the versatility that guys have. And then again, come September, you know, figure out where everybody fits best, where they can best thrive and succeed, and help us have the best O-line.
Jesse, Eric mentioned yesterday three guys. I mean, Zed Pinter, Vaughn, and
Bullock.
Are those the three guys you're talking about?
Yeah, those three guys for sure. I think we feel good about those guys competing. And then, again, just like all the guys, all the interior, all the offensive linemen, having that ability to potentially, you know, showcase some versatility and play different spots and us figure out the best five, the best six, the best seven, the best eight, you know, that'll be a major work in progress between now and September.
Jesse, when you sort of step back and look at the 11 guys you drafted over the last 3 days, do you see any sort of theme that runs through the entire class?
You know, tough, physical, you know, a lot of these guys are big physical players. When you look at the O-line, obviously you start with Vanga and just like him setting the tone for the draft class, dominant line of scrimmage. And so I think we added, you know, the best interior offensive lineman in the draft. Zion, again, big physical, tough, rugged player. Jacoby, big matchup guy, size, speed, length, catch radius, ability to make tough plays. I mean, Sarat as well. Like, that was a really cool opportunity to double dip at that position, the way the board fell and taking the best guy, a guy that's had a ton of production in major impact games the last 2 years at Indiana. And then I think when guys are really productive wherever they're playing, you know, he played a year at a JMU. He played a year at even a smaller school before that. A super productive player. Hibner, you know, I mean, I've seen this guy in some really bloody physical 9-on-7s, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago, being a really physical blocker, even maybe more so than showed up in what they were asking him to do at SMU. Again, excited about him. But all the guys, I mean, you can go all the way down the list. Even Chandler Rivers, not as big in stature, but plays with a really cool mindset. Love the way that guy plays football. Attacks the ball, plays really physical, is a good tackler for his size. So I just think you go all the way down the list. It's a really physical group. Big, strong, tough, physical team that we're trying to have here. And all these guys fit that bill.
Jesse, it's been probably a blur these couple months of everything you've had on your plate. What was this experience like in your new role with all the firsts you're experiencing? And what's kind of a general takeaway for you just being part of your first draft as a head coach?
Yeah, it was incredible. You know, this is the – obviously we talked about this all the way back, but, like, this is the job I wanted because the people here and how they operate. And Eric does an amazing job. You got Ozzie Newsome sitting in there. You got Steve Bisciotti. Just people that are unbelievable. You know, people first, and then they can just manage situations. They got a great mind for what's happening throughout the draft. They've done a great job of bringing the coaches in, and I feel like everybody on the staff really felt value and felt input into how we ended up with these players, you know, which I think is a cool quality to have to bring people in and make it collaborative. But at the end of the day, man, it's just a cool, really cool situation to kind of see the team come together. You know, when you go into it, there's, I think, you know, 50 so players on our team, and you add 11, and then obviously we'll add more the rest of the day. That'll be really exciting when we look out there and there's 90 guys on the roster.
What was there a position that Eric kind of tasked you with evaluating specific for this prospect class?
You know, it was really cool. I've always taken really a lot of pride as an evaluator. It was honestly really neat and fun to do a lot of different positions over the time. And so first time really evaluating like offensive linemen and wide receivers in a different way than just preparing to play against them. And to me, like the things that jump out as a defensive history coach, I would say, you know, the play style and how these guys play and just like the down after down mindset that they play with when you're looking at offensive players really jumps off the tape with all these guys. Their ability to make tough, especially like the playmakers, the skilled players, their ability to make tough plays, contested plays, key plays on the field in the red area. Both these guys, both these wide receivers, huge red zone targets. So just fun to evaluate all the different positions and look at different things. And then certainly, you know, the secondary has probably always been a knack of mine to try to get some of those guys.
Derek, obviously you have very detailed records of all these guys and their various idiosyncrasies, but you know, you look at your two receivers in Jacoby and Elijah, and then your two tight ends, very sort of similar on the surface profiles for each of those positions. I mean, high point, you know, tall receivers and tight ends who are maybe sort of tweener types who have blocking ability and then some, you know, pass catching. Mm-hmm. Are there ways in which those guys sort of diverge from each other, or is the overlap some of the point in why you decided to draft them?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I think is just that they're versatile players that do some really good things. They're not exactly the same. You know, our vision for Jacoby is probably a little bit different than maybe the vision for Surratt. They're going to compete for playing time, right? They both catch the ball really well. They're both big, but they're not exactly identical. I think, Matt and Josh, they're a little different. They're a little different how they're used, and the offense is different. But I love the fact that they're both versatile players who can do different things. And in our offense, not to give a lot away, and I don't even understand our offense yet, to be honest, but I know that versatility and flexibility and being able to do a lot of different things is really important. Being smart, being adaptable is really, really important. The idea of deception and all these things and just flexibility to play multiple roles, I think, is really a plus. And so, and then just being able to handle the physical aspect of the game, being tough-minded, being able to handle adversity. I talked a little bit yesterday about this, but I had a bunch of other players reach out to me today about some of these guys, and just they know their stories, and I think these guys were made, you know, of the right stuff, most of these guys. And I want to thank for that. I just think it's an opportunity for me to thank the scouts, specifically the area guys, and then also a couple unheralded guys, Steve Claggett and Derek Yam as well. They do a lot of work on the draft in different ways. George and Mark and all those guys and Nick. But we get great information on how these guys kind of who they are as people, background, motivations, drivers, and all those different things. And the scouts and those guys upstairs, they're really the guys that are able to kind of put that all together for me to help me make the decisions. And so without that, this process would be much more complicated and probably not as accurate. So,
sort of on the topic of versatility, mm-hmm. Declan comes from the Sean Payton school. In Sean's offense, think of Taysom Hill as sort of a do-it-all, jackknife-type guy. I think you used the word jackknife when describing Adam. Mm-hmm. As a receiver, return running back, I mean, is there sort of a joker, jackknife role for that he could kind of be in the running for that's new to this offense?
Well, I think that remains to be seen, but I will say he's very smart. He's big. He's athletic. He catches the ball well. He runs good routes. He's physical. He's a physical runner. He's played special teams. He can return kicks. So his value, it does get magnified. And I think, not to speak for Coach, but one of the hardest things to do is come up with a 48-man roster. And if you have guys who can do multiple things, it really makes your job a lot easier, because now you can create roles for other people, because you might have a player who can do more than just one thing. So if you can run routes, run the ball, pass protect, and return kicks, now your value really skyrockets.
Eric, I know you were dialed in to the whole draft, but did you get a chuckle out of watching Mark Ingram's son or the lady from the UK?
We did. We laughed. We saw that. You know, yeah, that was it was great. I mean, Mark, you know, he's I think someone said it, but you know, you'd think that Mark spent his whole career with us. He's only with us 2 years, but they were memorable years, and that 19 season especially, he's got a special place in my heart, and I think of him as a real original Raven, even though obviously he played more years in New Orleans. And so, guy that I really respect, I love his passion, I thought was really funny, and, you know, certainly I think the back and forth between, you know, Pittsburgh and Baltimore, we saw that this weekend, right? And I think that's just kind of even actually a special thing, right? It's kind of fun that we have that type of rivalry that's, like, celebrated across the country. Everybody understands, like, what it's like Red Sox, Yankees, you know. Everybody understands it and kind of celebrates it. And I think it's one of the things that makes sports special.
Eric, how does the scouting process compared to Finackley this year after you're looking for a kicker last year in the pre-draft?
Oh, man. Well, I don't get involved in that too much, you know. And I'm not – I don't want to – you know, I don't want to create a monster, but he's already been created. You know, he's already been created. But Randy does a phenomenal job. He does. And so it's probably the two positions that if Randy comes to me and says, this is the guy that we need, I'm going to accept it. Normally I'd be like a little skeptical and I want to watch the tape and do my homework and put my eyes on the guy. But when Randy does this and says, yeah, this is the best one, then that resonates. And, you know, I think our track record with kickers and punters is pretty good. Long snappers is pretty good. So it's not something I'm going to mess with. So now I might fight with them as to when we have to draft the guy or what round. But as far as, like, being the best at ranking, I think he's the best at that.
Do you look at Monday, I guess, Monday at 4 after that? Free agent signings no longer count for the comp pick formula. You're fond of saying that building a roster is sort of an everyday thing year-round. Do you view this almost as another phase of free agency for this team?
We do. Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't have any agreements that would be illegal, of course. But there are always players out there that you can go after that you'll try to talk to at some point. And as you – the draft is really, you know, you go through this process and now you know what the roster looks like. So now it's easy next week to go out and say, okay, we need this, we might need this, we might need this. So I think with free agency, potentially trades, terminated players, you know, we still – June 1st, still at risk for players to be terminated. That will opportunity for us to sign a few guys. And as you guys know, like even – I remember, you know, I think I don't know what year that was, but 2021, maybe 22. I was driving up to Penn State with my daughter, and we signed. I negotiated the contract for Jadeveon Clowney in the car. That was in August, so I think it was in August, right? It was in August, yeah. So those things can happen, right? And so again, it's like we try to be patient, not be too reactive to things, not overreact, just to be patient. And we'll see what happens, let good players fall to us. There's going to be opportunities coming along, and we'll be ready to pounce.
Jesse, how have you seen Rayshon Benny progress, both when you were with him in Michigan and since then?
Yeah, Ray's a tough, rugged, physical defensive lineman that's got some real athleticism. I think there's some real upside there with him and some pass rush ability. Thought in 2023 he was our third or fourth type defensive lineman. We had Mason and Kenneth Grant and Chris Jenkins, and we had obviously a pretty loaded group. But he made some really key plays for us in that season. He got hurt in the Rose Bowl that year, and I know it affected him. I was gone after that, but I thought this year he really bounced back after kind of battling through the injury in 2024, showed some really good stuff, does a lot of things on tape that obviously we like to see. And so I think he's just kind of a guy that's gotten better and better. He was really, really raw and kind of a young player coming into Michigan. But those guys there, you know, I know he's been well-trained and well-coached and excited to add Ray.
Jesse, we didn't get a chance to ask you about your voluntary minicamp you were able to have this past week. What stood out about that in terms of, you know, guys' attendance and just what did you learn about your football team getting to have most of them together for the first
time? Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable turnout. We had a great 3 days together. I think we learned a lot about each other, just kind of how we're operating on the practice field, some of the things that we're doing. We didn't do a ton of full speed teamwork in that, just from a health and safety standpoint of where we're at in the off-season program. But the guys had a real opportunity to kind of see where they're at, learning new schemes on both sides of the ball. And so it was incredible. It was a lot of fun. It was cool to see the coaches out there coaching these guys up. We kind of knew, kind of gives you a, especially going into the draft, it gives you a little bit of sense at different positions of kind of where you're at. And so it's a great rule. I do love that for new staffs to be able to have that opportunity. And now we go right back into phase two and continue to try to get better.
Eric, since we're not going to talk to you until September now, anything you can tell us about progress with Lamar and contract talks?
No, not really.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.